As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Well, it is draft day.
We got the draft. Oh, my God. Can you believe it's finally here?
Let's talk about the draft.
That would make it wild if the Bears were to, say, trade up to number 5 and be in a position to take Abdul Carter if he started to fall.
He's special. He's different. He could transform our defense, even as a rookie.
Defense doesn't make a splash. Sonny, people pay to get wet.
Ash and Jenty, no matter what.
There you go.
That's what I'm writing on a piece of paper tomorrow morning.
There you go. And you're going to wind up with him and with that special teams player you'll get. And you'll have that. You will pass on that quarterback. That kid's terrible. Sonny Weaver Jr.
You can't do it. Then I have to do it. And I don't want to have to do that, Sonny.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You're up early.
Well, it is draft day.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, it is draft day. We're going to learn the name of a new Bears player before all is said and done today.
Happy draft day, Mully. It is Thursday, April 24th, the day we all have been waiting for a very long time. We have talked it through very thoroughly, and we are ready for the Bears to get their guy.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And in the interim, it's so much fun to watch the Cubs at night, isn't it? I mean, didn't you feel that last night's game had kind of a familiar feeling to it? A team that is really playing good baseball, period, end of story.
Here's what happened the other night. We had the excitement of the comeback in the 11-10 game. Great. Last night had that certainty, almost, the expectation that they were going to do everything right and they were going to hold on to that lead, tenuous as it was. But that's a very good baseball team, playing as well as any team is in the National League right now.
Yep.
And playing as we really should expect them to play throughout this season. It was kind of fun talking before the show about how well they're playing and you wondering aloud. Well, I think Cub fans wonder, maybe not as loud as you did, but are they peaking too soon?
Oh, I didn't say it like that. I was just saying
they're peaking
they're really
too soon? But tell me, please reassure me that they're not
peaking too soon. They're just getting going. I'll tell you what, the Dodgers are not peaking too soon. The Dodgers just don't even, that was a team that came in here and took their beating for lack of a better term.
They really did.
They lost and they accepted it and off you go. See ya.
Their two games in Chicago were for as disappointing to them as the Cubs' two games in Tokyo were as disappointing to the Cubs.
Yeah.
Because they split that series as it all turned out. And really, looking back now, I don't know if Dustin would agree or not, but as throughout Cubdom, those two losses in Tokyo kind of maybe got the Cubs' attention. They started the season, and the sense of urgency has been exactly where you want it to be, whether it's in dispatching bullpen pieces in and out the door, on the shuttle back and forth to Iowa, or goodbye, Gage Workman, you need to catch the ball to stay here.
I got
to
tell you, I mean, that was one that caught me by surprise. I saw the two errors I understood that those were that was the third error, but that was an awful quick hook, my friend. It, because the thing that it is about that is that's it. Like that's if you DFA him, he gone.
He can't come back, right?
No, he cannot.
So there was a.
I need someone to explain. We have Bruce on it? 8:25.
Yeah, he needs to explain the Rule 5 ramifications.
Yes. How do you end up with two Rule 5 players
like
on the
White Sox?
How does that happen?
Well,
can they get a third? And I mean that.
I want to know what happens now, because I was under the impression, like I think a lot of us were, that he has to go back to Detroit.
Apparently, you can claim a guy off waivers if he's going to stay in the major leagues.
Okay, so the White Sox could theoretically do it again.
Yes.
They could use a third baseman that can't catch but can hit.
They need a hitter.
They need a hitter.
More than anything else.
They need a hitter.
They need a professional hitter.
But there is a, dare I say, ruthlessness that the Cubs seem to be approaching the roster with this year that you have to respect.
Holloway, I was like, that guy did pretty, what do you mean?
Hollowell,
sorry. I didn't even get to learn
his
name.
His car was double parked.
Now, but he's...
He's back to Iowa.
He'll be back this weekend, right?
You know something I don't?
No, I'm just saying. He seemed like a guy that could pitch.
He can pitch.
Am I wrong about that?
He was six up and six down, if I'm not mistaken.
So why not have him come back a little bit?
I'm not sure about that. All right. It wasn't in their original plans. He exceeded expectations. You love it when that happens.
Well, then... Let a guy wait till you fail expectations.
The rumor was, and I think I maybe saw him a couple of times at the plate, but did Ohtani actually show up this series?
Oh, boy.
Was he here?
Yeah.
LVP. LVP.
Our guy, Mr. Dustino, was miffed again this morning because he felt they shouldn't have pitched to him. And it was funny because I, honest to God, when they were pitching to him, I thought, wow, he's so off the boil, they're pitching to him. Like, he's been a rumor. He's been just a hint of a whisper.
He's been human. He's played like a guy who's been up late at night wondering about his newborn.
That's it.
And I know that they probably didn't make the trip, but certainly it looked like his mind is heavy. And certainly his swing wasn't the same, and Ohtani leaves town pretty much looking very ordinary.
Be any Ohtani race, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's not going to last forever, and he's going to have all the home runs and all of the hitting and all of the runs batted in, and he can do it later because the Cubs are done with the Dodgers now. That is the best news for the Cubs.
Yeah, that is good news. That's good news. I think we should start by chanting a certain man's initials repeatedly. And I think we might want to actually give a tip of the cap to a certain executive producer, Dustin William Rhodes, who we have kind of laughed about his prediction for Pete Crow Armstrong to be the greatest young talent in what year was that he was predicting? Because the guy's ahead of schedule.
My prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
He's trending very well right now.
He's very ahead of schedule,
well,
Mr. Dustino.
He is definitely ahead of schedule. And you know what, Dustin? Good call. The only quibble with that prediction is that if he stays, Kyle Tucker will be that guy.
Well, he's a Cubs outfielder.
But
not an option, to be fair.
Exactly right.
No,
PCA is definitely living up to expectations. In the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks have been terrific.
He has only hit like extra base hits. He's like the guy's batting.
He's a slugging machine.
First of all, he's so bloody fast. But he also has power. That guy is having a moment, and it is pretty spectacular to see it. He opened the season, 2-22?
Yes.
It was just, he had a great spring, and you thought it was going to hit the ground running. And, he has really hit the ground running.
I like that he is at the bottom of the order right now. I know I was clamoring for him to lead off, and one day he will. But right now, this lineup and batting order, as we dissect it on a daily basis, makes all the sense in the world. Their first four hitters, I know Suzuki didn't play last night because of the late scratch, but their first four hitters, so selective, they grind through every at bat, and they wear down pitchers, and PCA is the perfect spot at seven, or maybe some days it's eight, but mostly seventh, to be effective, and I think that's exactly where he should stay.
With Suzuki out, they started the DH with some 40-year-old dude who, I got to be honest with you, not seeing it over here.
I'm not seeing it either.
So I know we don't talk about such matters as we're going through things.
I know we're not going to criticize the Cubs this morning, but
hold on a second.
Do you really have to substitute the designated hitter in the third spot? Does the DH bat third every day?
When he can't,
we talked about that
weight.
Before. That was a big criticism of. I just don't understand. Like, if you the DH has to be, it just seems, you know, for lack of a better term, lazy.
Lazy.
It just comes off as lazy. But again, when you've got a first place team and you just swept the world champs, and they're in the rear view mirror,
feel great about
everything.
And
he had the absolute onions to throw to Ohtani with an open base. Coomer was like, "What is it? Like, what's going on?" And there's no bigger supporter of Craig Counsell than Ron Coomer. They're buddies. I mean, Pat Hughes brought it up. Ron, do you think?
If Pat brought it up. Know there's some controversy there. You know it's worthy of second guessing because.
So I don't want it all pinned on me. Okay.
What do you think of this, Ron?
But you're the only one that is still peeved about it.
But did anybody else have like an upset stomach listening to it?
When I was watching it, I thought, wow, like they're throwing to him here because he's so bad right now. Like that's how bad it's gotten for him. I didn't think, oh, he's going to make a pay. I thought he's really not playing well right now.
Yeah.
And I've never seen him kind of that mediocre.
I think that's a good point. I had a similar reaction to Dustin, I hate to admit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't gotten over it.
I know.
I mean,
I'm over it. I'm over it.
But you saw the result, and you were like,
let's just not. If we get to Craig Tober and the Cubs are playing the Dodgers, let's not, like, let's go back to April 23rd and with an open base throw to Ohtani.
Well, okay. But can you give him credit this morning for the pinch running? I know Bruhan is not your guy, and I understand
he might be the next guy.
He might be, but he did pinch run and didn't he steal a base?
It feels like Justin Turner
and
he slid through
a base and was tagged out.
He might have the inside track on him, Dustin.
I just think that we have to be fair. If we're going to criticize, then we also need to compliment. And Craig Counsell made a pretty good move. Look at his look.
I'm more impressed that Matthew Boyd got him out. He was the one who actually threw the ball.
Bruhan ran for Turner. And for the second night in a row, made an impact on the base paths.
Well, Turner can't run for himself.
Wait, we got to go back.
I'm not sure he can hit for himself.
Okay. What?
Did Bruhan score a run?
No, he stole a base.
And then what happened?
He stole a base. He overslid.
This is which one is worse? Giving credit to Bruhan for stealing a base. And that, or Craig Counsell doing the absolute obvious thing the other night and putting in the pinch runner that we wanted to give me all this grief for. That was my point. Like, oh, good job, Craig. Good job knowing the rules. As the highest paid manager in baseball by almost $2 million, you knew to put the fastest guy you had left on your team on second base. And we want to do backflips and think, God, check a box for manager of the year for Craig Counsell.
Except that he's not. Dave Roberts is the highest paid manager in baseball. And the Cubs are 16-10 after the toughest portion of their schedule.
Was the highest paid manager.
Oh. I don't know why you're grumpy today.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're grumpy today.
I would imagine this must be killing you, all this success.
I'm taking it one, as I do with all Cubs games, I'm taking it one game at a time. As Craig Counsell mentioned, this I agree with him wholeheartedly. There are about 100, and without getting into the math exactly, there are about 130 more games to go.
Well, to your point.
That's just baseball, unfortunately.
That's just baseball. They are 16-10 now.
That's pretty good.
And after 26 games last year, they were 17-9. So your point is well taken, But can you just enjoy
it? Listen, I enjoyed it. I'm always with bated breath, right? It's always have to make it difficult.
It's so much more difficult than it was last year. And they've already, as he pointed out, won series against some of the best teams in baseball.
Otani was 1-for-14.
Otani was 0-for-10 against Shota. Isn't that unbelievable?
It is.
Can you imagine if you were Shota, how puffy-chested you'd be?
You would want to definitely celebrate that.
Yeah.
In the shower and sing.
Yes, you would.
You would want to sing about that in the shower.
Go, Cubs, go.
Go, Cubs, go.
I have to give credit to Marquis since we're Alex Cohn last night filled in again for Boog, who is sick. But they did a great job. The game ends, and he just said, go ahead and sing it. And they did a great job just getting out of the way and panning the crowd.
They do that every game.
But I thought last night it really resonated. Yeah. I'm not saying they don't do it every game. I'm just saying last night I'm giving a compliment, David.
Yeah. Last night he noticed.
I know that was hard for you, and I think it was appropriate. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. You better get back to that one at a time. You with the compliments doesn't work.
So, Cubs in a good situation. Sox lose last night. Draft day.
I even mentioned they lost for the 70th straight loss to Minnesota. Yeah. May as well be
14th. It's 14th. Whatever. It feels like 70.
Yeah.
Sad news that broke about 6:00.
Yes.
Right around 6, just before 6. We were doing the Chicago lead. And Steve McMichael passes away, 67 years old, dies of ALS. Everybody's been following that.
Right.
We were fortunate enough to be in Canton and when he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last summer. That was a great trip.
It was a great trip.
Chicago paid tribute. And today, Bears fans mourn the loss of Mongo, a guy unlike any other, the epitome of that 85 Bears era and team, as valuable as anybody on that defense. And so today, you know, there's sadness. There's probably a sense of grief mixed with relief because he's done suffering now.
Yes, yes. I would agree with all those emotions. The life is difficult enough, but the finality of death is something that is a hard lesson to learn. And unfortunately, many of us have had to learn it. We've had to lose people close to us, and we've had to see people. There's something about Steve McMichael, the way he played, the kind of bigger-than-life personality, the tough guy sort of persona. And he was so much more than that, as all people are. But it was just so difficult to watch him take on ALS and battle this disease and the nature of the disease itself, and seeing a man like him dealing with it. And I got to tell you, there has been a lot of tributes, a lot of people pouring out things. I saw a thing online from Jarrett Payton where, this is Jarrett 4 years ago when Steve had his diagnosis. Sat down with him and listened to this, and this is what humanity is all about.
You know what's best in the human condition, my son? Compassion. Not warrior, not competitor, not alpha. The compassion in the human being. And that, what's going on in the world today, you kind of lose faith in that, don't you? But everybody that comes into my presence, now that I'm in this condition, that's the first thing I see on their face. Man. And it reinvigorates your belief in humanity.
That's powerful.
It's so powerful.
And that was probably among the, not the last times that he was able to communicate, but communicate in a way that resonated to the extent those words do.
Agree.
And that's well put, Molly. And I think that when you understand what his loss means to people who were so close along this ride for the last 4 years, guys like Jarrett Payton, his entire family, the Bears community. I think that his death is also a reminder, we're talking about how he died and all that went into that because of ALS and how cruel the disease is. But it's also we're celebrating how he lived. And he was this guy who was the life of every party. And he was the guy that reminded us in tough times you want to have compassion. And he was the toughest bear there ever was. You know, one of the undersized defensive tackle who played in 191 straight games. Got him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And now you mourn his loss because of how I think it was fascinating to see not just the Bears fandom, not just former Bears players, but so many people in Chicago rally for his cause.
No question about it, David. And our thanks to Jared and to WGN. I believe he did that for WGN TV. And it's beautiful in his own words to hear him talk.
To remember what he sounded like and how much vitality was in his voice and the way that he did live every day until he was robbed of that right to do so. So, yeah, I'm glad we played that because people do maybe forget what Mongo was like down until he couldn't speak any longer and he couldn't communicate in the way that he wanted to.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
and it's an incredible message to deliver with the loss of a guy like Steve McMichael. Very difficult one for all Bear fans, for all Bears players. But you know, say a prayer for his wife, for his daughter, for his family, for all the people that were close to him.
They've been through so much. They have been through so many difficult times. The last 4 years specifically. And we know just that getting a little bit of a glimpse last summer as everything was shifted and the focus was on him and his struggles at Canton. And the Hall of Fame did a terrific job of honoring and treating his final days with dignity. And that's what you want. And that's what his legacy will be part of what he did as a player, but also how he lived and left us as a person. And that is special and worth remembering today.
And I mean, you know, you think about all his teammates being there with him, surrounding him in those moments with the Hall of Fame. So it's beautiful. And there's so many people here in this town that just love the guy. And your heart goes out to anybody that feels a sense of loss today over that, really. Really understand.
You know that the tributes will come pouring in, I'm sure, throughout the weekend because this is draft day and it's an NFL 3-day extravaganza. And we'll see probably former players making draft picks. We'll see Ryan Poles at the podium. Ben Johnson will probably have something to say. The Bears family and community will pay their tribute to Steve McMichael. So he passes away on the eve of the NFL draft and you spend the weekend. Yes, we're going to have all the information and all the opinions and all the analysis of all the draft picks. But we can also take time and pause just for a moment to remember Mongo, a guy who nobody will ever forget.
Yeah, it's really, it was, I'm glad we played that because I think it's important to hear that and hear it in his voice and understand that, you know, as that voice was silenced, that's what was going on within him. That's the way he was thinking this through.
That's the voice he heard in his head.
That's it.
And that was a voice you'll never be duplicated.
Yeah, really.
One of a kind, special, if there ever was one.
Special cat,
yeah.
No question about it. All right, well, we got a lot
to do. We got the pick six coming up. We're going to do
the pick six.
We're going to talk about Mongo. We're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about the Cubs. Do we have to talk about the White Sox?
I don't know that we should be forced to anymore.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
We'll have our moments.
By the way, I
know you're happy for me. The NHL playoffs are on fire.
Oh, the NHL playoffs are on fire. And the
Dallas.
How about Boston in the NBA playoffs? They were on fire. That was pretty impressive.
Jaylen Brown stepping up. Jason Tatum out.
Yep. Jason Tatum.
Joe Mazzulla, luckiest coach in the NBA.
Yeah, well. Not the best coach.
I said luckiest.
I know you did, but you got to love it. Just good fun stuff.
A lot to talk about today.
We're going to get to all of it. The pick six is next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
It's pick six with Mully and Haw. where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is the biggest storyline of this year's draft in your opinion? Are you tired of the Shedeur Sanders story? Is the team that drafts him bound to be coached by his father one day? How interesting are the running backs in this year's draft?
Yes, it's draft day, my friend, and it's very exciting, and I think we're all getting very worked up about it. The biggest storyline, in my opinion, it may be this Shedeur Sanders story. It's not about him. It's about the position of quarterback. So I think the biggest story, I don't know that the best player in the draft will be drafted first, but I don't know that that happens in every draft. I think that the value of the quarterback position is so high that you would think that there will be a quarterback that goes number one overall, as there will be in Cam Ward. I cannot fathom the idea, and I've heard this from multiple people now, that there will only be one quarterback taken in the first round. I just think the need at the position is too great, and there is going to be someone who will fall in love with some quarterback. And I don't know that it's Shedeur Sanders. I don't know that it's Jackson Dart. I don't know that it's Milroe. There are plenty of opportunity possibilities. But if you come out of a draft with only one quarterback taken in the first round, I mean, that would floor me. That would knock me over if that is indeed the case. And if that happens, I think that's kind of the big storyline of the draft. It's not necessarily that player, although he's obviously generally regarded as the number two guy, and why is he going to go higher? He's not a great athlete. He runs into sacks. I mean, I get all the idea, but if you're telling me there's a draft where we got, like, we watched the whole season, there are like 15 guys that are playing into year 12 because they're all transferring across God's green acre, and you can't come up with another quarterback? You got one?
One.
That's crazy to me. That's crazy, and that would be a very unusual thing in an NFL draft.
The lack of quarterback talent is the biggest storyline, I believe, and you guys made a great point yesterday talking about the player that we know is going to go number one. The Titans have already revealed and told the young man that he is going number one, that if he would have been in last year's draft, he might have been a second or third, like sixth or seventh quarterback. And right away, you know, the other thing I found very interesting yesterday was a tweet from the information man from Fox, Jay Glazer, talking about that something else that NFL teams are questioning players about this year is whether or not they love football. And that's like, there's like certain guys are off certain guys' boards because of NIL, as David's doing his best Johnny Manziel over there, the money sign. Usually we get that from Mully, but today it's David with the money sign. I'll do it for the camera. I like to play to the cameras as well. And you know, the Shedeur Sanders,
it's my move. Why
the Shedeur Sanders. I gave you credit. I said you usually are the one who does it. Shedeur Sanders is. I'm so tired of that.
Why?
Because the Shedeur Sanders camp, if you will, if his name wasn't Sanders, you wouldn't even be being talked about. You wouldn't have been the quarterback at Colorado. We may not know that you even, you know, here's the other part about quarterbacks.
So you took the bait.
We all took the bait. I'm not the only one. Well, your answer is still to come. I won't be rushed. Is that where the quarterback falls? Where the quarterback falls is a big part of the quarterback's success. Where that quarterback ends up. If Shedeur Sanders lands in Pittsburgh, which a lot of people think is going to happen, there is no shot that Deion Sanders ever is the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So funny you say that.
No shot.
A guy I know said to me the other day, we were talking about this, but I was saying that this story is taking on some weird life of its own. And this guy said to me, he's like, yeah, because no coach wants him because he knows Deion's going to be replacing him in 2 years.
Except Mike Tomlin, who would be the perfect coach for Shedeur Sanders. I'm not convinced, as we sit here on draft morning, that Shedeur Sanders won't be a better NFL quarterback than Cam Ward. I think he could be in the right situation. In the right situation.
You do not like Cam Ward.
I'm not a big fan. I'm not going to lie. I haven't been able to conceal that. I'm not trying to. But I do think that will be a big story today about where Shedeur Sanders goes, whether it's 9 to the Saints, which would be a shocker, or 21st to the Steelers, which is where a lot of people have him mocked, or drops out of the first round altogether, which I think is the worst-case scenario. And unlikely, I think unlikely, the Giants could jump back in if that's the case and maybe take him at the end of the first round. But I do think that he has potential. And if his name were Joe Smith, there'd be a lot less attention paid him. But I do think you'd see a quarterback with a skill set that NFL teams appreciate. He's not a great athlete, which is ironic and unusual and unexpected, but he is a pretty solid, savvy quarterback. There are tools there to work with that I like and I would like if I were a talent evaluator. Now, the second part of this question is the most interesting part to me. How interesting are the running backs in this group? Hold on. Let me see. I got to check my pocket here. Oh, yes. Ashton Jeanty, no matter what.
Wow.
That is how important and interesting these running backs are in this draft. Take them, Bears. I don't know about moving up. I don't think he's going to be there. But I do love the idea that when you set the question did last night, you're like, are you going to write down on a sheet Ashton Jeanty or whoever, no matter what? Yes, I'm going full Sonny Weaver meatball. Ashton Jeanty, no matter what.
I don't think that made the cut, Seth.
Speaking of taking the bait.
There's two different questions there for me. It's,
what do you make of reports like the one from Albert Breer that suggests the Bears are one of three teams most likely to move up, possibly to be in position to draft David's guy, Ashton Jeanty? How high might they go, and what would it cost to move up?
Albert Breer and the New York Daily News, Pat Leonard, were guys who I think were reputable out there reporting the same thing, similar thing. The Bears are here. They're hearing the Bears are trying to move up. I don't think it's for Abdul Carter. That's unrealistic. It might be for Mason Graham. There's some agent chatter about Mason Graham out there.
That might be the surest player in the entire draft.
I agree with you. The floor being where it is his ability to help a team with a need at the defensive line. I would be okay with that. Now, the Jeanty thing is high risk, but I do think it would be high reward. I don't like the idea, believe it or not, as much fun as we're having with guys who were fixated on and what Ben Johnson could do with an Ashton Jeanty. I don't really like the idea of moving up that high and giving up a second-round pick who's a starter, in theory, to get Ashton Jeanty with as many questions surrounding his. Some people have some legitimate questions about his ability to break tackles at the NFL level because he's not going to be running against Mountain West defensive backs forever. So I get it. I don't know that I want to have too prohibitive of a cost. I don't know that I would give up 2 second rounders to move up to that point. Molly, you made a great point yesterday looking at the price of moving up based on last year's transactions. I'm not sure the Bears have enough to move up to there. If they do it, I may get swept away with enthusiasm. I'll let you know when that happens, if that happens. But right now, I would shy away. I would step away, and I would not let emotion rule me. I would want to play tonight as close to the vest and safe as possible because you're going to get a starter, an elite player, I think a special guy at number 10.
I think you can get a special guy at number 10. I do not want the Bears to trade up for Ashton Jeanty. I don't want them to. I think it was Jake Butt yesterday on the midday show. I thought he made an excellent point saying that he believes that the next 2 or 3 running backs in the draft give you 85% of what Ashton Jeanty gives you. So if you can get another guy and then a guy who gives you 85% of what Jeanty gives you, why wouldn't you do that? And I agree with that. I thought that was a very good way to look at it. The other thing about this draft is that, and Mully, you pointed this out, and I thought you did it very well, is that there are maybe 4 or 5 what most people actually – there's not a lot of agreement about this draft, but there is agreement. There are only about 4 or 5 blues guys that have the opportunity to potentially, we joked around a little bit about, you know, wearing the gold jacket one day. There's only about four or five of them. There's plenty of really good guys, guys that will play 10 years, give you everything they got, love the game of football. So I don't want them to move up. I don't want them to lose two second round. I think David, you know, David's waving, talking about playing to the cameras today.
I'm playing to you.
I think it would cost you both your second round picks, and I don't want the Bears to lose those 2 second round picks.
The Bears, they're, listen, let's everyone take a deep breath for a moment. The Bears are beginning this kind of rebuild. They did a lot of masonry work, if you will, in the off season, and getting together some players that can hold up and can keep the project moving forward. But that is not the finished product. That they did not revitalize all areas of their offense. They need to come out of this draft with one, possibly two more offensive linemen. They need to come out of this draft with another defensive lineman, maybe another pass rusher as well. So I don't feel like the base of the building is strong enough moving forward that they could afford to give up anything, no matter what, to go up into the top five to take a running back. I'm sorry. It's just that I think there's two things that would stop me. It would be that there are so many premium running backs available. I've mentioned this before. There might be six guys that are really good running backs that would have a Pro Bowl season in them available to you in this draft. And there may be a total of 10 in the top 100 in this draft. That's a lot of running backs for a draft. I think you've got to balance that a little bit. I get it. If you could get the premium player, if you got the best of a group, whatever. But I don't know that this is the year to put all your eggs in that basket.
I think that's a really good point and well put. What it comes down to, as much fun as we're having, is that if the Bears were one player away from being a Super Bowl team, you could justify moving up. At this stage of their growth and development, they're not there yet. So you'd like to save the capital you do have, because those picks that you're willing to trade to move up are starters.
Yes.
On good teams.
Yes, you need starters.
Yeah.
But one thing I read yesterday was that the thought at Halas Hall might be that they believe they are.
See, that's one player I saw away, the same thing, right? and I
and
thought
that scares you as a fan.
And that was my initial reaction. Was like, no, you're not.
No, they're not. They're not. I mean, no offense to anyone, but no way. What was the record last year? They lost 10 in a row. Does anyone remember that?
5-12, right? 5-12. Wow.
It's pretty ugly.
I understand the question.
Are you glad the Cubs are done with the Dodgers? What did you think of Matthew Boyd's performance? How about the bullpen?
I'm not glad they're done with the Dodgers. I got some more Dodger love in me. They could stick around for a while. That is so much fun to watch. The Dodgers are a good team. The Cubs look like a better team. And the Cubs look like, all of a sudden, it's not the best team in baseball. It's not the team that world champions. It's the best offense in baseball is coming for you. That's what these games have looked like against the Dodgers, and it's been tons of fun. And at both of these games, to have taken them in the way that they did, knowing they were coming to town and knowing that, look at this, and then the Phillies, and they're still going to be tough. I feel like they have exceeded what our expectations were before this all began. You know, you came out of the two games in Japan, you just shrugged it off and you said, hey, that's, you know, the Dodgers are awful good. And the Dodgers, I believe, won their first 8 games. Now look at them. They're another team that has 16 wins total, right? It's not like, they're kind of like a 500 team since they opened the season with those 8 wins. And I think the Cubs feel like the team that has more momentum right now, and certainly their offense has been absolutely fantastic. And what's super cool about it, too, is they don't feel like they can afford to sit around and wait. They feel like they're going to keep making moves, and you did that? No, we can't have that. There was, I think it was Chris Kampka where I read this, where that was the first, here, let me just get this statistic because it's a very good one.
He does a great job for Marquis.
He does a great, I miss him on the White Sox, but he's got a better gig for himself, so God bless him. But he basically said that this is the first time that they have allowed three plus unearned runs and still won a two-game series like that. They hadn't won two in a row. I can't find it. I'll have to look it up. But it is an excellent statistic because they've won despite their defensive failings because the bats are so damn good.
For now, I guess it's good to be done with the Dodgers because I think, David, you mentioned it, and I agree with you, mark the tape, that the Cubs got them at the right time. Shohei Ohtani's mind wasn't in the right spot right now, not because anything's wrong, but he's probably excited new father. And I wondered if he was even going to be here, to be honest with you. I thought he might take a couple of days, and I would not have, believe it or not, beat him up for not being here and being with the birth of his first child. I hope the Cubs get to do this again because that means it'll be done in Craigtober. As far as Matthew Boyd's performance, up and down, but it's hard for me to say it, but kudos, I guess, to Craig Counsell for leaving him out there. I thought he left him out there one inning too long, and it almost came back to cost them, but it didn't, so it worked. So the confidence, and Matthew Boyd seemed very appreciative of the fact that he was given the opportunity to stay out there longer because it would have been a very easy hook. It was an easy hook for Mike Carr when I was listening to Pat and Ron. I'm like, I cannot believe he's in there, and I can't believe you're pitching to him.
I agree with that. I had the same reaction, but I'm glad that Matthew Boyd was on the mound last night, and even though it wasn't his sharpest outing, I do understand why they stuck with him. You look at the way the Cubs are as a pitching staff, they're piecing things together. This is much more difficult than it appears from the outside. And maybe, you know, we are kind of in this Cubby nice little glow and euphoria over sweeping the Dodgers for two games, and they are 16-10. But this is a difficult time for this pitching staff. Last night, we didn't know during the game, you go from Matt Boyd into the bullpen and you see Porter Hodge on the mound and you're like, oh, that's an interesting idea. I wonder what's going on. Ryan Pressly got his knee drained?
Yeah.
Post-game, you learned that?
We'll find that out.
So now you got a bullpen that's not only shaky but injured again. He will be back later this week, we are told. But thankfully, Matthew Boyd did come up in a big way. So he's a clutch pitcher. He's a veteran presence. Craig Counsell is doing a good job, Dustin. And for people that want to pick it apart every single day, that's part of the role that we play. That's part of the job that he has. But let's face it, after the teeth of this schedule, and it gets tough this weekend, Phillies are in town, doesn't get any easier, but they've done a nice job.
Here's the Chris Kampka factoid. This is the first time the Cubs have consecutive games in which they allowed three plus unearned runs and one since June 11th and 12th, 1914.
Oh my gosh.
1914.
They do need to tighten up the defense,
they
which
do.
Is what we'll get to in a moment.
Wow. You know, it's a scary good question, right?
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's here at 825. Why did the Cubs sign Nicky Lopez? How surprised were you that they immediately sent down Gavin Hollowell to make room for Drew Pomeranz? How would you describe the plans at third base and the bullpen?
I was really surprised they sent down G-Man. I thought G-Man was here to stay. G-Man earned himself a nickname by setting down six guys in a row. Gavin Hollowell will be back, I think. I hope that he comes back and is better for this experience. Drew Pomeranz has got to be here because he had that clause in his contract, I guess, that
yeah.
He didn't activate it within 72 hours. He could go back on the street or end up back in Milwaukee, who knows where. But at least Drew Pomeranz is here to make us all feel better about a left-hander in the bullpen. I don't know about Nicky Lopez. Good guy to have on the team. No Chicago, pride of Naperville. Local guy made good.
Yep.
I think he's here to field ground balls to make sure that none go under his glove. I think he's here to tighten up the defense that has been too leaky for a defensive-oriented infield. And for a team that takes such pride and is built to play sound defense, the Cubs have been a little sloppy lately. Gage Workman, two errors, had to go. I got some Rule 5 information later for you, Molly, because I think I have to look into that.
Good, buddy.
So anyway, with Nicky Lopez is here. I think he's going to play with Birdie. Maybe that's a little platoon they got going there. Don't think Brujan's in the picture. We know what Justin Turner's capable of doing, DHing. So that may be their plan at third base. I don't like it. I don't like the plan at third base. Here's the only thing that I felt good about yesterday in terms of the third base plan. PCA doing what he's doing gives me hope that Matt Shaw one day will be following the same path, because PCA also struggled in his first cameo at the major league level. So I have hope in Matt Shaw because of what PCA has done lately.
So just to be clear, you're okay that they got rid of Gage Workman? Because I think I suggested it yesterday, and I was like, don't have a knee-jerk reaction to making errors.
Well, I'm surprised at it, but I don't mind the urgency. I gave it some more thought, Dustin.
All right, that's good. I think. Listen, I even can make my mistakes as well. Gavin Hollowell, you know, he's got options, right? And so you signed Drew Pomerantz. Like, I guess Air Ricketts wasn't available to get Drew Pomerantz here quicker, so that's why they probably made the move with Gavin Howell when they did, or how they did. And don't be surprised. So was Nicky was. Again, I was on radio most of the game last night. Was Nicky Lopez in a Cubs uniform and on the bench last night?
I don't know that.
Okay, because I don't be surprised, and this is going to be another knee-jerk reaction, jerk being the key word. Don't be surprised if Nicky Lopez is in a Cubs dugout on Friday afternoon and Brujan is not.
Oh, you've got him.
That's going to be my corresponding move. That they are going to flip-flop those two on Friday.
Yeah, I think that I think Workman is the guy that was sent down to create the 40-man spot for him.
Because
that's why they had to move the other reliever out so Pomerantz could be on the team, right? I'm just saying, from a 40-man perspective, I don't know that they need a spot, if that's what you're implying, because I think they're caught
up.
I'm
saying it's more than the 40-man. We're talking about like the active roster.
No, the active roster. I'm saying I think that's the spot. I think Workman was sent asunder because they decided they were going to bring in someone to play third base. And that's the decision they made. You know, we know Nicky Lopez, and you know, he'll be a try-hard guy for them. He will play good defense for them. That's what he can do. He's a good defensive player and a light-hitting baseball player. So, you know, does being in this lineup, does being around this kind of support pick up his hitting? Does it make him? Does the idea that once everyone starts going, anybody can start going? So I don't know. Does that help him? Is what I'm saying. Maybe it does. But I would say that he's here because they know he can play defense. They had him here in camp. When he didn't make the team, he went to the Angels, and the Angels just released him, right? Isn't that why? Was it the Angels? Is that why he was available?
Angels DFA'd him.
Yeah, so they had a possibility of getting someone in here that they knew, and they can play some defense, and that's the only reason they did it. I'm saying that's the only reason they got rid of Workman is because of his defense. And Nicky, he'll be able to play third base. He can play. He's a good utility guy. Can play all those positions.
Okay, next question.
That's the voice of Ozzie Guillen. You hear him here on Wednesdays with the Mully and Haw Show. Yesterday suggested moving Luis Robert Jr. down in the lineup and or replacing Andrew Vaughn at first base. Either realistic? Would either move make an impact?
I think, honest to God, at this point, anything is acceptable. Do something. Try something. Do anything. Try anything. Sign Gage Workman if you can get him. Get anybody that has a hint of a shadow of a baseball bat in their future. Anybody that could actually make contact with the ball would be a welcome addition on the south side. Yeah, if Robert can't hit, move him down. That's fine. Vaughny, you want to replace him? They got a guy in Elko who's in the minor league. I'm not a big Elko guy, but I'm not a Vaughny guy. So, yeah, do anything. I think it's all realistic. I think they need professional baseball players, and they don't have any. And frankly, I'm a little bit I'm torn between being absolutely appalled and just verbalizing that they went out and they got, you know, Martin Perez. That was the baseball player they signed in the offseason. You know, what are they doing? They do not have guys that can hit on that roster. You know what happened yesterday? They scored 3 runs in 1 inning, and that was it. That's the White Sox offense. And frankly, it's unfair to everybody. It's unfair to anybody that ever paid for a ticket. It's unfair to anybody that ever watched a game. It's unfair that you are running an organization in this fashion. And if you don't want to, let someone else do it.
Well, Tim Elko, Mully, is 6'3" and 250 pounds, so much bigger target than going Vaughn. That was a thing, right? In regards to Luis Robert Jr.
But he's not 280.
Yeah, no, that we'll save that later. That's coming up in the extra point, David. There will be a 280-pound bear when we get back here tomorrow. Just a matter of which one. I don't know why you would move Luis Robert. If you, like, do that, then just, like, DFA. Like, if you do that, you're just telling everybody, like, we don't believe in him. Maybe you
move
give
him down to take some of the pressure off him because he's not.
But you got to be able to deal with pressure. Well, if he's getting traded to a team that's playing in Craigtober, how about this? How about sitting him today? How about sitting Luis Robert Jr. today, having him sit right next to the skipper? And then he seemed to respond to that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So let's see if that would work. And I know, how would you sit the guy? They're going to get, they're about to, doesn't, the record doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You got to get this guy's mind
right. Make a statement, get him going, then you can trade him.
Sit Luis Robert Jr. today. That's my suggestion.
I would also move him down in the order, maybe 5th or 6th. I hate to acknowledge this, but I've been a longtime Andrew Vaughn guy, but I think he's lost me. I just can't continue to hope that he's going to get it. Somebody of his draft status, he is baseball Patrick Williams. He was overdrafted, and he's been a model and symbol of disappointment. And I'm sorry to acknowledge that, but this has been terrible to see the decline in his approach and all the numbers that he's not producing. So, Elko, whoever, give Lenin Sosa more spots at first. I don't care. Andrew Vaughn's not getting it done. Maybe he can see what you could get for him, and a change of scenery would benefit everybody. As for what else they can do to supplement this offense, which is moribund, and just really, really sad. Mully, should a player who was a Rule 5 draft pick on his new team clear waivers, he must be offered back to his previous team for $50,000 and can be outrighted to the minors only if his original club does not wish to reacquire him. So Gage Workman is on waivers, designated for assignment, I believe, and he has to clear waivers for...
So the White Sox could claim him,
yes,
right now.
What?
Why
the way
would
I understand
not?
It.
Why
we'll
would
ask
they
Bruce
not?
At 8:25.
Claim him.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
How did you feel when you learned that Steve McMichael passed away yesterday? Did you have many experiences with him or about him? How will you remember his impact and his career?
All of us had a little bit of a connection with Steve McMichael, obviously working with him in the sports media after his playing career. I did not cover him as a player necessarily with the Bears, but I do think that everyone will feel his loss in Chicago just because of the attention paid, his struggle with ALS and the way that he faced it and the way that he embraced the struggle. He died with dignity. And as much as we say that he was larger than life, and he was, I think he'll be even bigger in death. His legacy will be of one that shows you how to handle this kind of sentence in your life and the struggle that everyone has to endure. ALS is a cruel disease, and Steve McMichael tried to smile his way through it until he couldn't any longer. So he was inspiring. He was an example. And we will miss him dearly. And the only thing that you feel as we address the question, how did you feel when Steve McMichael, we learned that he passed away yesterday? There was a sadness, but there was also a sense of relief because he's done suffering.
Sadness and then relief, David, I think are a good way to look at it. Earlier in the week, we had heard that hospice had been called, but there's been other times where he's been taken to the hospital and you thought they were going to lose him then. And then we've had calls here at the station. I had a guy that I believed was giving me good information that he had been transported to a hospital and that he wasn't going to make it. And I put in some calls and that ended up all being false. So shame on that caller for doing that to me specifically and to us. No real experiences. You know, watched him from afar, loved watching him. You know, he went into professional wrestling. Always fun with that. You know, the surprising thing to me and something I didn't realize, I realized it a year or so ago when his Hall of Fame induction happened that he was elected, but that he is the second all-time for Bears sacks. This is from a defensive tackle. This was never a guy that moved to the outside. Now, you could say, well, there was a lot of pressure. Guys can't, but still, you know, I would have thought that was Dan Hampton. And Dan Hampton is basically 38 sacks shy of McMichael. You know, that's amazing. But McMichael played in 181 games as a Bear to Hampton's 109. I mean, just the amount of games he played as a Bear, he will be missed. I'm glad he got into the Hall of Fame. But I hope if he was suffering the way it appeared that he was, that that's no longer happening.
Yeah, both the guys you mentioned, all-time Bears, some of the greatest players I've ever seen. I remember when Steve McMichael came to Chicago, and I remember talking to people who were at that training camp, and, you know, he was the guy that jumped into every drill, that treated every drill like it mattered, that, you know, found his way into the coach's heart in a hurry because of stuff like that. And he played like that his whole career. He just was a warrior as a player, a great player, and got the utmost out of his career. I did interact with him at different points and got to know him a little bit, always enjoyed his company. I know he was an intimidating figure, but if you got to know him a little bit, he was just a really good guy, just at his heart, like a really good guy. And, you know, really enjoyed my interactions with him. And the ALS, that disease, and the way that it silences a person, and then kind of the way that they pass away, the way that it eats away at their flesh and their body. His spirit was never hurt by it, right? But good God, it was difficult at various points to see him as this thing was attacking him. It was really difficult, as it is with any sort of larger than life person. And there was, you know, a certain comic book type of heroism with some of those guys back in those days. That just, what a big, powerful guy. And to be waylaid by a disease like that is just so horrible and just so kind of makes you contemplate a lot of different things. But, you know, a really wonderful person, and the world is a worse place without him.
Well put.
All right, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Here we are setting up the extra point. Okay, prediction time. Who will be discussing in the morning, and how will the Bears arrive at that decision?
All right, make this quick. I think this is the way it's going to go for the Bears. There will be a lot of conversation and maybe even consideration about moving up and giving up a second-round draft pick and whatever it would take to take Ashton Jeanty or Mason Graham. But the Bears are going to stand pat. They're going to stay at 10. Ashton Jeanty is going to be off the board. Will Campbell is going to be off the board. Mason Graham is going to be off the board. Tyler Warren is going to be off the board. Armon Members is going to be off the board. They're going to be like, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? Do we take the third-ranked offensive tackle on Kelvin Banks? Or do we give Ben Johnson a toy, A luxury item is what we'll call it tomorrow morning. We'll wonder how Cole Kmet fits into this picture. And we will welcome to the Chicago Bears their new tight end, Colston Loveland, University of Michigan. The Bears go for a Michigan man because all of the other options that might be better options, arguably, conceivably, possibly, all of the other options will be gone. And not that they will have to settle, because I like Loveland. I think I like him better than Warren. He's a wide receiver in a tight end's body. Can he block? Never asked that question about Greg Olsen. And I see a lot of Greg Olsen in Colston Loveland. I like the impact he could make in the Bears passing game. And I think we'll be discussing that tomorrow.
David, right church, wrong pew. A Michigan man will be a member of the Chicago Bears tomorrow morning. And how perfect will it be, considering the news that we were dealing with this morning, when 6'3", 320-pound defensive tackle Mason Graham is inserted into the middle of that Bears defense. And he might end up, hopefully, reminding people of Steve McMichael.
Love that.
That would be
a great draft.
That would be fantastic. I think that the player that may fall in the draft to the Bears is the tight end Tyler Warren. They may have an opportunity to choose between the first tight end off the board. And I think if I was listening correctly, when you heard the head coach talk about the defensive coordinator's reaction to the guy, I think that may be the guy they end up taking. I like a lot of ideas. I like a lot of people. I like them staying at that pick. If they get a defensive lineman, I won't argue about it. I am all for the Bears getting somebody really good out of this draft, and I think it might be Tyler Warren, just the way the board could indeed fall.
So we both have getting a tight end. Different tight end.
I'm not predicting that they get a tight end. I just think that maybe the way the board falls.
That's a prediction. My prediction is the board is going to fall a certain way. I think that's not what I would necessarily hope happens.
Yes.
But we're trying to look at this
exactly
with some informed opinions and talking to people, and I think that's what we were anticipating. I still came here this morning fixated on this.
You got Ashton Chenty no matter what.
Yes.
See, the problem with no matter what is you're going to have to give up next year's draft.
I know. I like the idea of no matter what because I like the movie Draft Day.
Yeah, I do too.
But I don't know if I feel no matter what.
Yeah, I think it's fair. And that was going to be one of our questions. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, but Dustin poo-pooed it.
Poo-pooed. He's a poo-pooer.
Yeah, that's what he does.
All right.
Does not mean that it can't be another segment.
Can't kill the fun.
We got a long way to go, man.
We got another segment coming right up.
All right, let's go.
We'll be right back. 312-644-6767. Mully and on the score.
Well, your answer is still to come. I won't be rushed.
Well, it is draft day.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score.
I usually like to watch draft day before the draft.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll catch a matinee episode today. It's got to be on one of the channels, right? Kevin Costner, underrated role as Sonny Weaver.
Don't you own it?
Junior. Don't I own the DVD? How would you play a DVD now?
I don't know. I mean, you just have it in your...
You'd hit open and then hit play.
Yeah.
I don't have it hooked up. I mean, you'd have to figure out. I could find it. I might watch it this afternoon. Show prepping might be a good way. Might be a good way. Jennifer Garner, good role for her in that movie.
Well, you got the Sox game, so.
Oh, the Sox game. That's right.
You don't want to miss that.
That's my afternoon.
What record would be set if they lost today?
No, they're going to finally beat the Twins.
They lost for 14 straight last night. I think that was the history.
That was a in-division rival.
Yeah, it'd be extended to 15. Cubs off today, well-earned day off. All the focus on the NFL draft, which begins at 6 o'clock tonight. We got a big show. Big show tonight.
Yes, there's a lot going on. There is so much fun with the draft happening. We've got Doug. He's on the road and wants to check in. Good morning, Doug. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I was just wondering why we're not talking more about Johnson and Sweet. Those two were really solid backs last year behind what was arguably the worst offensive line in the NFL. With the upgrade of the offense,
I think you
their
meant
potential improvement this year.
We lost you for a moment there. I think you meant DeAndre Swift, and he is still part of this backfield. Still I don't think there? Roshan Johnson is going to be a featured part of the offense. He could be, but I think the expectation is they're going to get a running back with one of those top four picks.
312-644-6767. We're going to be back with your calls, Mully and Haw on the score.